Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Local, where we discuss local issues in our communities. I'm your host, Umema.
And I'm your co-host, Khadija. Before we begin, we would like to thank our listeners for their patience with the release of our new episode for the winter term. A special thanks to Keegan, Radio Laureate's production manager, for his untying patience with us.
This episode, we will be covering the topic of long-term care homes across Canada, but specifically in Ontario and around Laurier's campuses.
Before we jump into facts, we'd like to talk about our own personal experiences surrounding long-term care homes. So personally speaking, back in high school, I used to be in the student council. And in grade 10, our student council prepared Valentine's cards for all the residents living in the care home beside our school. And when we went there, it was very well organized. People were playing games. There was a TV lounge where everyone was really happy. Like, I loved the environment there. But what I noticed was that there was one lady, and I will never forget this. There was one lady who literally grabbed my hand and she said to me, "Take me home, take me home." And I kid you not, it was so overwhelming for me because I was just stuck there. I was like, I don't know what to do. First of all, I did not know this lady. It was my first experience ever, like, you know, having to deal with something like this. My friend had literally had to shake me and tell me to, you know, let's go. Personally speaking, I just feel like a lot of people, they like it there because I feel like they have their own space where, like, at home, you know, they might be restricted to some things and here and there. But a lot of times people don't like staying at, like, long-term care home because they don't feel at home there. With their own family, they feel at home. So that's just my first 10 experience with long-term care homes. I like them, but I also know that there are people who don't like it, but they have to stay there regarding family matters. What about you?
Yeah, I've had a couple of experiences in retirement homes too. I remember the first time I went into a long-term care home, I was about 6 years old, and I went there with one of my mom's friends. She went to visit her mom who was there, and when I first got there, I didn't really think anything much of it because, like, I was six. But also, it didn't seem like there were any issues that at least the child could notice. I mean, there were people that were playing chess together. I know that in a lot of retirement homes, they play bingo. Her mom had her own room with a bed and her own nurse. My sister was there with me, and I believe she asked my mom's friend, "Why doesn't your mom just live with you?" She said, "You know what? I have five other siblings, and we all asked her to stay with us, and she said no to all of us." She was telling us how her mom wanted to live in the long-term care home where she would have her own personal nurse and her own room and all this privacy.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of times people go to long-term care home for their own privacy, for their own space. But a lot of times, some people are forced to be there. I feel like there's no middle to this. Like, there's, like, people who like it, people who don't like it. Honestly, I was just wondering, do you think it's justifiable for people to send their parents to old age homes? Like, what do you think?
In some cases, some people are unable to take care of their parents, like, financially, or if they have specific medical needs that require a nurse's attention. But in other cases, the parents themselves don't want to live with their kids. What do you think?
Well, I agree with the part where you said it's okay when parents do not want to live with their kids. Like, that's their choice. But I think that families should not abandon their parents. In my opinion, kids send their parents away because they cannot handle the responsibility, or rather, they don't prioritize it. And honestly, it may seem cheesy, but if our parents did not let go of our hands when we were kids, you should be able to take care of them the same way they took care of you. You know, a lot of people say that old people are just like little kids. So that goes hand in hand. So if that's their own choice, I totally agree. That's up to them. But if you're forcing them or nicely convincing them to stay at the long-term care homes, I just don't think it's right.
Yeah, I agree. Like, although in some cases it's literally not possible for adults to take care of their elderly parents, I still personally believe that you should try your best to provide a home to them as they did for you. In my opinion, it's like the familial responsibility shifted from the parents to the kids to take care of each other. But again, that's just how I see it.
No, I totally agree with that. It's totally understandable, but I think a lot of people just still see it, or they don't want to take care of their responsibilities. My opinion, people get to think whatever they want, but that's what I think.
Putting aside our opinions, let's look at some statistics. According to Nelligan Law in 2017, seniors in Canada outnumbered children. More and more people are living in collective facilities like long-term care homes or retirement homes. Actually, in June 2020, it was announced that Canada had the worst record among wealthy countries for COVID-related deaths in long-term care homes. In fact, 80% of all COVID-related deaths have occurred in long-term care homes.
Sorry, you just say 80%?
Yeah, 80%.
That's a huge amount.
Crazy, right? That's how you know something's going on, right? Yes. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
In Quebec, 3,890 long-term care residents have passed away due to COVID. In Ontario, it's 2,877 COVID-related deaths in long-term care homes. And we will look at that further later on.
Mm-hmm.
But to explain this generally, a sociologist at York University in Toronto, Pat Armstrong, studied Canada's long-term care homes for 30 years. And they concluded that it was Canada's long-term decision to exclude long-term care facilities from the public health systems. This means that 54% of all facilities in Canada are privatized. And there's so much evidence that shows that the lack of government intervention allows there to be a lower quality of care in privately owned facilities.
That's insane. Wait, I understand that the private care facilities are involved and they're helping, but at the same time, I feel like our government has a responsibility as well. And it almost seems like that the government does not even care about these facilities. According to CTV News, a doctor, Canada's long-term care homes system is underfunded. Around 1.7%, Canada puts off its GDP towards it. Now, in contrast to that, if we were to look at Netherlands, Netherlands puts in about 3.7% of its GDP. Now, I understand that Canada and Netherlands, there is like a population difference. But at the same time, if they are putting in that amount, I feel like Canada can also own up to its responsibility towards the long-term care home and put maybe 2%. Because right now, there's a 2% difference and it's seen. There are a lot of other facilities that need funding, I understand. But going back to what you said, 80% deaths due to coronavirus, that number, in my opinion, is just not okay. Like, mm-hmm. There's something wrong and it needs changing. And it's changing now.
When long-term care homes were first a thing in Canada, it makes sense that, okay, you know what? Let's have it privatized. People can profit off of it because ultimately it's a choice to be put into long-term care homes. It's not mandatory. But now we've seen through precedent cases that there has been so many issues with long-term care homes because of the lack of government intervention and the privatization on this whole industry. And the fact that you have to call it an industry, you know, showing that there's some sort of commercial value in it. I think the government should really step in now because it's like, okay, privatized businesses can't really do this anymore. They're not taking care of our seniors. And clearly with COVID, they're really struggling here. Maybe they should be publicized now.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Also, I feel like families need to own up as well at this point.
True.
Because coronavirus is mostly impacting seniors because of their, you know, immune system and respiratory system. I think at this point, families need to understand that their family members are no longer safe in these care homes. And unless until there's a change made, I truly, honestly feel that families need to own up to their responsibility at this point. Going back to the article that I was looking at, this person, Sinha, she says, a lot of people are really upset with the quality of long-term care homes we have across Canada. And so people are looking for a quick fix. And many people are just saying, and for-profit care. I don't think that this system is something that can be fixed with a quick fix, you know. To be very honest, changing the entire system takes time. But taking baby steps towards it, I feel that it can be improved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that we're looking for, improvement. Personally speaking, I think Canada needs to start looking at this matter as soon as possible because, of course, we don't know when the third wave of coronavirus may hit and these long-term care homes cannot handle that.
I think that one of the first steps Canada's government can take into publicization is just start with government funding, provide government resources to these long-term care homes that can slowly improve the quality of long-term care homes. Because I know you said that change can't happen right away, but I believe that it's possible for them to just step in now and like do something quick, like start with small government funds rather than them just saying, oh, you know what, these facilities have been privatized for so long, it's impossible to make them public now.
I understand that. And I totally agree that they should step in now and do something about it, like with small funds here and there. But this system is not going to be improved just with small funds. What I'm trying to say is that they need to put in small funds at the moment. Yes, they need to provide resources and prep like masks and gloves and stuff, right? But at the same time, they need to do something long term.
True.
Like, yes, it can be, a lot of issues can be solved at the moment with small funds, but they need to do something long term in order to sustain that improvement.
Closing in on Ontario, long-term care homes are governed by the Long-Term Care Homes Act, made in 2007. And this act also includes a Resident Bill of Rights, which has 27 sections, and it includes residents' right to be free from abuse, to have a friend or family member present at important meetings, and rights and freedoms like that.
I actually want to talk about that before we dive into more statistics. Mm-hmm. Seeing as that there was an act made to battle these, abusive behaviors and such, I just feel the need to question why, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously something happened a law was happening, to be honest, if there was act towards it. And I just feel that this should not be the case. Long-term care home is supposed to be more like a home to you, where you feel belong. And your homes are not supposed to be the place where you get abused, right?
Yeah. And there's another act that the retirement homes are governed by called the Retirement Homes Act of 2010. And this includes licensing requirements for retirement homeowners. It includes residents' rights. And it also has a standard of care, staff training requirements. And again, abuse and negligence protections for residents, which we will be discussing. But it's like, why is there even a need for that? You know, you wouldn't expect that, right?
Right.
There's also a Residential Tenancy Act, which basically outlines what retirement homes need to have in their care homes information package for new residents. Like, overall, I just can't believe that, like you said, these laws even needed to be put in place because of what I'm assuming are precedent abuse cases. You wouldn't expect it. It's like sending your child to daycare, and then the daycare workers say, oh, you know what? Don't worry. We have laws that protect your child from abuse and negligence coming from the workers and other children. Like, oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't have expected them to be subject to abuse or neglect in the first place, or at least for the employees to be able to handle or prevent any abuse from other people that are there. You know, you wouldn't expect them to have to put laws for this stuff.
We'll look into more as to why these laws are put in place. Looking at CBC News back in 2020 of September, this article states that there needs to be increase in staffing to ensure that there are realistic ratios of worker to residents. Now, putting emphasis on realistic, because you can't have minimum staff that take care of a lot of residents.
Mm-hmm.
See, I feel a lot of times staff are not able to do their job properly or not give enough time and attention to these residents because of the amount that there are, and there's not enough staff for this. Secondly, there needs to be sufficient supplies for personal protection equipment. It's like what we were saying before. This needs to happen now because, obviously, going back to what Omema, you said, that there are 80% deaths in the long-term care home related to COVID-19. The fact that there are that many deaths go hand in hand with the fact that they weren't doing a good job before. That's why it happened.
It's so obvious that there's like a staffing issue. not just because they're understaffed, but the fact that they constantly need more people, then those new staff members aren't properly trained,
right?
Because they don't have time to train them because they just need more and more staff members. And that creates problems. There's just not enough that are properly equipped and properly trained to deal with such situations. And that's why the issues are just so dire now.
Going back to, as I said, that these long-term care homes cannot bear third wave or coronavirus. This article states the exact same thing, that these homes are not equipped to deal with another wave of coronavirus. More so, the residents and staff members are at risk of losing their lives. See, there is a training problem, yes, but there's also the problem that there isn't a proper system in place for the safety of the residents and the staff. Due to that, a lot of people are scared to even go into these facilities. It's not just resident problem. There's a staffing problem as well. And not just because they're not trained, but because they don't feel safe working there. And if you don't feel safe at your working place, I don't think a lot of people would want to work there.
This kind of goes into why the government needs to intervene at this point. These problems, yeah, they were already there, right? But now because of COVID, they're just skyrocketing. These statistics of deaths due to COVID are just unbelievable. I really think that the government should look at this. If their job truly is to protect citizens, then they should help long-term care homes deal with another wave of COVID. In 2017, the number of seniors in Canada have outnumbered children. This is a large group in our population. They need to be taken care of. And it seems, like you said at the beginning, that the government doesn't care because they know of COVID-19, obviously, and they know that there's going to be another wave, yet it's like they don't want to pay attention to it.
Let's take a look at specifically Creemore, Ontario, and not to put them under the bus, but we're just stating what the article we looked at. And it stated that there are no strategies to respond to residents' aggressive behavior. There are failing to prevent one resident from physically abusing another. I don't even know how that's possible.
This is what we mean by training. You know,
right.
They're not properly trained because they just don't have time to teach them because, you know, they're understaffed.
Yeah. On top of that, residents are not getting their minimum of 2 baths a week. So hygiene problem. There are missed deadlines for reporting a staff member's suspected abuse of a resident. If staff is able to abuse a resident, what are you doing? This is a very genuine question. What are you doing? That's not okay ethically or professionally, to be very honest. And it just really shows you that staff are trying to protect staff. The whole system is protecting themselves, because if there is a fail to take into account as to what the residents are saying, that there's obviously something wrong with the staffing as well. As you said, the training problem. Another thing that I wanted to bring up was of 99 referrals made by inspectors in the last 2 years of the directorate, just 7 resulted in director's order. This means that there needs to be actions taken to protect the safety of residents, such as directing a home to cease admissions. So new admissions should not be taken in place, requiring the hiring of new management, because obviously if the staff is able to do stuff like that, then there's something wrong in the management, or revoking the home's license. I'm almost overwhelmed by the fact that these things are happening, because like I said before, these homes are supposed to be a place where this feels safe. If you don't feel safe and you're out here protesting for a home's license to be revoked or for actions to be taken, then they must have been driven to the very limit for them to go to this height.
You mentioned they failed to prevent one resident from physically abusing another and staff actually abusing the residents. How do you even get to that point?
And the fact that it came in the article, that just means that it happened a lot more for it to be noticed.
Yeah, that is a huge thing too. Media coverage is actually very difficult for small time activists. This had to be such a big deal to receive media coverage. Narrowing in on Pickering, Ontario, there's actually a CTV News article that describes how this one woman in a long-term care home facility was diagnosed with COVID-19. Her son, when visiting her, noticed that she looked like she needed better care than she was receiving. So he took her to a local hospital, and the doctors noticed
that she actually sustained serious kidney damage due to dehydration. And although she was cured of COVID-19, she doesn't have it anymore, she still is in the hospital and in fragile health because of the conditions in the long-term care home. So here we want to give a brief trigger warning for our listeners, as in the next minute, I'll be mentioning content that may be disturbing to some. So there was actually a military report by Canadian troops that were sent to 5 long-term care facilities that had COVID-19 outbreak, and they went there to investigate all the issues that were there. So what the troops noticed was that there were insect infestation, aggressive resident feeding that resulted in choking, bleeding, and infections, and residents crying out for help for hours. There were also allegations of failure to isolate COVID-19 positive residents from the rest of the home, as well as many hygiene issues surrounding contaminated medical tools and dangerous bed sores.
I don't even know how I'm supposed to react to this.
Yeah. Before this, like, I didn't know that there was anything necessarily wrong with long-term care homes, but this extent of neglect and straight up abuse is just appalling.
No, I agree, because just like you, I really didn't think there was much happening with the long-term care home, because there was one right beside my high school and we went there once and the environment was pretty organized. I really didn't think there was much going on with long-term care homes. It's having to realize that if we hadn't researched this, if this wasn't even our topic, we would have never found this out. This is like the main reason we do these podcasts, because we want others to be aware of these issues as well. Because later on, you know, people will have to go through this as well. Like, you know, you might have to make the decision of like whether your family member might want to stay on their own, or you might not be able to uphold the responsibility and you want to transfer them into long-term care homes. You need to know this stuff, because a lot of times by the time you find out, it's a little too late. Because like you said about the one guy that had taken his relative and he found out that there are a lot of issues, a lot of times it's a little too late. And that's why we want to highlight these factors happening in your own society, which you are not aware about.
Like, before having read these articles, I would have never known that there were articles that even covered abuse in long-term care homes. I genuinely did not know that our elderly population were being treated like this, like second-class citizens almost. How all this abuse and neglect just kind of is allowed, and the government really isn't intervening. It seems like they have their hands tied behind their back because it's all privatized facilities too. This report was made by the Canadian Armed Forces, and they state that there were also several communication issues, and like we said over and over again, there was a staffing issue. The new staff weren't trained or had proper orientation, and there was also inappropriate or abusive behavior from the staff to the residents. This report is available to read online if anyone would like to look into it, but we do warn that other than the content that we described, there is further content that may be graphic and disturbing to some people. Now let's take a look at long-term care homes near Laurier's Waterloo campus. So according to CBC News, there are several issues that exist in Waterloo Region's long-term care homes, but not to the extent seen in the military report that we just looked at. In the report, military troops reported that there were cockroaches, rotten food, and contaminated gear in the 5 long-term care homes that they examined. But according to Waterloo Region's health inspectors, in Waterloo Region long-term care homes, there were only concerns of lack of staffing, lack of personal protective equipment, and problems within infection prevention as well as control. So Waterloo Region's acting medical officer of health said that these issues have been prevalent before the COVID-19 outbreak, but had only been exacerbated afterwards. And he said that prevention should be the top priority right now for long-term care homes, especially because we don't have any vaccines or medical treatment for the virus, or at that time we did not, because this article was published in May 28th, 2020. So this is when all this was happening. And it seems to me like there was a huge issue with hygiene, even though I feel like that should have been a priority even before COVID times, because the majority of the residents require medical care anyways and probably suffer from various health issues regardless, because they are, you know, elderly citizens.
they are much more vulnerable and susceptible to disease, let alone a virus, right? So in the midst of a pandemic that's especially targeting long-term care homes and elderly residents, you would expect there to be an emphasis on hygiene and preventive measures for this virus following others pre-existing COVID. And as we're seeing, that just wasn't there. So at that time, in May 28, 2020, there were COVID-19 outbreaks in 12 long-term care homes, and there were outbreaks in 26 homes, but had been declared over. However, out of Waterloo Region's 113 deaths, 93 of them had been in long-term care homes and retirement homes. And as we can see, like, that's still such a large number, right? It's not proportionate. This virus is targeting our elderly citizens.
No, I completely agree with that. On top of that, you know, like you said, that this, the hygiene should have been a priority even before the COVID-19 outbreak, because of course it's necessary for the elderly and stuff because they're already going through a lot of health problems. I feel like COVID-19 really highlighted these aspects just because it came out even worse than before, because now hygiene is more of an issue because you are a vulnerable contracting the virus. On top of that, the same doctor which you had talked about, Mama, the acting medical officer of Waterloo, he also had stated that there have been improvements in infection prevention and control in the sector since the pandemic began. But again, as we said before, requirement staffing continues to be a challenge. I think it's appropriate to say that it's an issue because if you don't have staff to take care of the elderly and to take and do regulate all the prevention measures, then this will only continue to get worse. On top of that, I think that it's fair for the staff to, you know, be afraid, because going back to the numbers that you had shared, it really shows that long-term care homes are being targeted, and it would make sense that people are afraid to, like, you know, get a job there. Because, of course, their health is on the line. I think in order for the staffing issue to be resolved, long-term care homes need to take measures in order to prevent or restrict these numbers from rising. And only then people will be more comfortable or more willing to work there. Because if this continues, then there will be a point where you won't have enough staff to take care of the elderly. And these numbers will only continue to rise. Going back to the article that you had shared, where you had mentioned that of the region's 113 deaths, 93 of them had been in long-term care home. The article which I'm discussing about happened about 6 months after the previous one. And the doctor had mentioned that of the 120 people in Waterloo region who have died from the virus, 96 have been residents in retirement homes. So we can see that there has been improvement, yes. But personally speaking, I don't think this is enough of an improvement for us to celebrate on.
Mm-hmm.
6 months and there's a difference of only 3 deaths. Yes, those 3 deaths matter. I mean, you know, that number matters, yes. But at the same time, I don't think it's big of a number for us to celebrate. The improvement still needs to continue, and the active measures still need to continue in order for us to see a larger improvement.
I think any improvement is an improvement. I mean, realistically, I think that the elderly citizens should be protected the most against the virus because they're the most susceptible and vulnerable to it. And I think this can also tie back to how, you know, Khadija, we always say that these social issues have always been there, right? Mm-hmm. These issues have always been prevalent pre-COVID times, yet now because of COVID, like, they've all kind of blew up. For example, we've seen homelessness, right? It was always there, but now it's like a bigger deal because of COVID. And now we're seeing that, like, these issues in long-term care homes were always there, but now because of COVID, they're blowing up and now they're receiving more attention. So do you think that there still would have been improvement even if there weren't COVID, even if there was no COVID?
Honestly, no. No, because see, these issues have obviously
been there for a really, really long time. And the fact that there wasn't any improvement back then clearly speaks that there wasn't going to be any improvement if COVID hadn't happened. Because of COVID, these issues really got highlighted and they really came forward. Because why? Because first of all, like you said, long-term care homes, elderly people are there and they're more likely to contract the virus. Homeless people got attention because of this, because they were likely to contract the virus. Because why? Because they were out in the open and didn't have any protection wear, right? So these issues that have been in our society for so long, and they're you know, now they're embedded into our society and they're always in the background and they're not looked at, because now it's a norm of our society. You know, there are going to be homeless people, you know, there are going to be issues in the long-term care home. They're all in our society now and this is part of it. But because of COVID, they're being highlighted, they're being brought forward, and these issues are being more talked about because now it became a problem. Before, it wasn't a problem because it was other people's problem at that point, right? But now it's our problem because if you contract the virus, you're out in the open, it can matter to us as well.
Yeah, like because staff are now scared, right? Because they're afraid of contracting the virus. And that's why they're reaching out for the government, aren't they? For more staffing.
As long as it was their problem, it was in our society and it didn't matter. Now it's our problem.
Yeah, not to blame like staff members, of course. This is like no one's fault.
But
trying to like see the difference in how times were before COVID and after COVID, because, you know, like all these social issues, they've undergone some sort of significant difference, you know, between then and now. And we're just trying to point it out.
Right. All right. Now let's take a look at long-term care homes near Laurier's Brantford campus. So, Omema?
Right. So, according to the expositor, in December 2019, this is pre-COVID, there were concerns from residents and the residents' family members about maintenance issues at Park Lane Terrace Long-Term Care Home in Paris Brant County. There had been bed bug sniffing dogs in the facility, and some of the areas within the facility had no hot water. So there was an inspection report from the Ministry of Long-Term Care observed that there had been a leaking roof in the home near October 2019 that actually resulted in rain coming through in the rooms of some residents. And around that time, there was also a sewage backup that had the potential to cause a full evacuation. So a lot of people and a lot of the family members of residents believe that this home isn't taking maintenance seriously. A ministry spokesperson said that it's actually up to the home's staff to make sure that this maintenance is up to good quality and that they maintain these housekeeping and laundry services that meet the legislations that we described at the very beginning of this episode, of all the acts that regulate how long-term care homes are being maintained. So they actually ended up finding bed bugs in this home and were said to be common in shared living spaces like hotels, group homes, and unfortunately, retirement homes. So to me, it seems like the management and staff kind of are making excuses for their poor services and hygiene. And now due to COVID, we're seeing that instead they're kind of pointing fingers to the government, like we were just saying. And is that reasonable because we're in the middle of a pandemic under federal responsibility, or not because these issues were prevalent before too? Like, because this article's from like 2019, right? So this bed bug issue happened before COVID, and now these issues are only, like you said, highlighted or emphasize after COVID, and now people want government help, but they kind of made these issues to begin with. It's not like these were all of a sudden coming up after COVID.
Exactly. And you know what I feel? That there's been a blame game happening almost.
Yeah.
The staff is blaming administration and administration is blaming the staff, and everyone all together is blaming the government. What happens with this blame game is that no one takes responsibility. Therefore, the issues die down and nothing gets resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're going to play this blame game and keep making excuses, I really don't think there's going to be a progress happening. Because in order for things to be resolved, you need to take responsibility for what happened. And what I mean by responsibility is that not only accept and admit to the fact that there is a problem, but also try and work through it.
I completely see what you mean, because it's like, without any accountability,
right?
Like, no one's taking accountability here. And without that, you can't make progress, because no one's like, everyone's like, well, I can't fix this. This isn't my problem. This is their problem. Like you said, the blame game. Now there's like no set person or organization really that is taking accountability and is willing to go forward with fixing these issues, which is why progress seems so slow. Actually, the home posted a notice explaining that residents that have had bed bugs in their rooms had been removed and those areas are to be cleaned. They're sealed off from everyone else. And the communications manager for Brant County Health Unit said that bed bugs aren't actually considered a health hazard that would involve, exactly, that would involve the unit. So the health unit doesn't want to get involved. Do you see how this is like switching around? Now Brant County Health Unit is like, well, this isn't our problem because you know what? This isn't even a health hazard. And the article also says that if a long-term care home has issues with bed bugs, they're supposed to seek professional pest control services. To us, this seems pretty off-putting, right? Because we do see bed bugs as a result of a lack of hygiene and uncleanliness. But according to the CDC, or Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, we looked into it and bed bugs are not considered to be dangerous, but an allergic reaction to several bed bug bites may need medical attention.
Yeah, and honestly, it's mind-boggling to me that to think that these issues wouldn't even be coming up, that people wouldn't even be trying to talk about this stuff if COVID hadn't happened. These were just gonna be left the way they were and people to die. And these numbers wouldn't even be counted if COVID hadn't happened. Like, do you realize that this research that's happening and these articles that are being published, they weren't gonna happen. They were just gonna be left as it is. But these are happening because, oh, let's see how things are different from since COVID arrived. Another article which we looked at around the Brantford campus, there have been seven long-term care homes in Chatham, Kent, which will receive more than $2.3 million in extra funding for COVID-19 expenses during the virus's second wave. I see this as something that's really good. The government is trying to help, and going forward, this money will be used, hopefully, in a good way to help the long-term care home. Also, the MPP, Rick Nicholas, said that COVID has really shown a weakness in our long-term care home that has existed for many, many years. So, like we said before, that obviously this issue has been going on for years, but COVID really highlighted and emphasized these problems. And I really honestly think that COVID has shown us a lot of, you know, worst realities of the world, but also people are now more aware of things that are happening around them. A lot of people showed concern as to what this money will go towards. This money will go towards screening all staff, essential caregivers and residents, containment activities such as hiring new staff to help with the added workload or to replace sick and isolating workers, extra cleaning equipment and operating supplies, and carrying out infection control measures. I think these are all amazing things, and they definitely need to continue even after COVID dies down, because if it does not continue, then the problem would have just been for nothing. And yes, we can say that we should take, you know, more safety precautions, but as someone who has worked, who still works at a restaurant, so I work at McDonald's, right? And I can tell you how hard it is, because we work near the stove while having to wear a mask all the time. And it becomes really difficult to breathe at times. And not only that, if someone accidentally touches the food bag, we have to take all the food out. We have to make it again. And it takes time. And now we have like sanitizer bottles. We have gloves. We're washing hands every 15 minutes. And the list just goes on and on. So I understand that it's very difficult for staff members and other people in healthcare to do what they do. And I understand that. But at the same time, we need to continue to do this in order to see an improvement. Honestly, kudos to everyone who work frontline workers and everything, mm-hmm. because I've heard so many news of nurses dying and doctors dying, but they still continue to do it because obviously someone has to, right? And me, I have like the most I've had like what, 8-hour shift, and all I have to do is like wear a mask, and that thing hurts. I tell you, I literally have to go to the washroom after a few hours and take my mask off for a while and like, you know, rub my nose for a little while because it hurts that bad. But imagine the doctors having to cover all the things that they have to wear, gloves. They have to do a lot more than we do, mm-hmm. and they still continue to do it. So I just feel that if we can improve on certain things, that we can be of help to these frontline workers because they're doing so much.
Well, I just want to say like another thank you to essential workers and like you, Khadija, like you're an essential worker, and like we appreciate you so much for providing a service. You know, our service workers, our frontline health workers, you know, everyone that is doing so much, the most, mm-hmm. right, to ensure the safety of everyone else. You know, like those people have earned everyone's utmost respect throughout this whole pandemic. So I'm happy to see that the government is helping them with the pandemic, because again, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic is something that no one could have ever prepared for. I think it is personally the government's responsibility, not necessarily federal, but maybe like even provincial responsibility, to make sure that everyone is safe. So I'm really happy to see that there is going to be money going towards staff and staff training. But at the same time, the staffing issue has existed before. And I can't predict the future or anything, obviously, but it just makes you think, if this issue was improved before the pandemic, how much easier would it have been now? Right. And that's the repetitive pattern that we've been seeing, where when you don't fix these issues when they first arise, they only get worse, because no one could have foreseen this pandemic. And now that it's here, it's emphasizing every single issue we have in our society. Mm-hmm. Right. And now people are jumping to try to fix it when it's, I don't want to say too late, but when it's a big thing.
No, I completely agree with that.
And with that being said, we come to the end of this episode. We talked about legislation and statistics concerning long-term care homes in Canada. We looked at various issues within these facilities throughout Ontario, and we discussed improvements in specific homes around both of Laurier's campuses.
Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode in 2 weeks, potentially starring a guest. Don't forget to follow our Instagram page at Let's Talk Local. That's LETS.TALK.LOCAL for previews and updates on our episodes. Enjoy the rest of your day.